Good evening and welcome to another episode of Citizen Kane. It's Sunday, October 9th, 2016, and we are streaming live right now on Facebook. If you're watching this later in the week on Cheshire TV and you would like to catch us live and maybe even call in with some of your thoughts, do that at the Facebook page, facebook.com/citizenkane.org. The telephone number to call us is 267-521-2771, or you could Skype us. The handle is citizenkane.org. You can directly message me. The email address is show@citizenkane.org, or you can also message me on the Facebook. My name is Conan Soliday, and joining me, the ever delightful and witty Shauna Nash, also known as the Salsa Queen in some camps. But Shauna, how are you this evening?
I'm here.
Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you for putting up with me.
And I would like to give out a forewarning and a prologue to the episode last week.
What happened last week?
Sometimes I say things I don't mean, not because I'm not believing in what I believe in, but to draw out the argument that are presenting.
You're playing devil's advocate.
And it's defined loosely as playing devil's advocate. It's common for people to say it every single time. Look, I'm just playing devil's advocate here to show just how above the arguments I am, because I'm really a centrist. I'm not a centrist. I'm actually pretty old-fashioned. But just to be clear, it's not, you know, that I'm not a libertarian and therefore I'm arguing with you to bring you to statism or anything. I'm not a libertarian because of libertarians, really. And I'm not arguing, oh, you know, the city is right to do this, or they have a good argument because I'm in agreement, or I want to be part of the good on the good side of city power, as if that's a possibility for me or anything.
You're playing all angles, and that's how you debate.
I'm not playing. It's not so much playing the angles as I get.
You're exploring the other angles.
I think you, Conan, I think you're really smart.
Oh, thank you.
And I think a lot of times libertarians...
That's high praise!
Coming from me, it is, yes. So you're right. A lot of libertarians exist in...
A bubble.
A bubble in a tunnel. And I don't know where I got the constant idea of your idea's got to have all the holes plugged, but... A lot of times people just don't think of their ideas or their ideology from the other side. They only think in their own phenomenological worldview as the only one. And what I try to do often is to, you know, bring out the arguments that somebody else is going to give you, who's not going to be sympathetic to you or to other libertarians.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I bring stuff up, like, oh, you know, well, the normies are going to say this. It's, you know, a normie would say, a normal person, normal viewer on Cheshire TV who is not sympathetic at all to liberty ideas, they're going to be a lot more ruthless than I ever will be and ever would want anybody to be. So, and I'm not saying this because you know, he didn't chew me out or anything. He just brought up of like, wow, you sound, you know, like you love government or something.
That's what I got right
there. You know, so I kind of am doing it, I guess, quote, playing devil's advocate to help to bring out the other side to see that the ideas that people put forth have really fleshed it out.
Okay, well, that I don't have any argument with that. That's the key to good debating. Where you have to put yourself in the other person's shoes and think about where they're coming from. And when you know what side of the fence they're on and where they're coming from and you know where they stand, then you can better whittle down their argument. But you have to understand their argument before you can do that. Otherwise, you're just throwing mud and seeing what sticks.
Right.
But no, I absolutely agree with you. I don't disagree with you doing that, but it was... you were coming off so strongly that I couldn't tell. I do this too. where I'm trying to be sarcastic.
Mm-hmm.
And it just comes off like I'm so serious that the people can't, they think I'm serious. Dead serious. Like I'm, you know, I'm here, I am trying to play a Jedi mind trick on someone and they think I'm real.
Right.
And it blows up in my face. So you got to find that that element of humor, or just straight out say, "Hey, look, you know, I'm coming from your side. Let me try to understand your side of the situation and try to explain it like you would." Or, "Hey, I'm playing devil's advocate," or whatever. You just come straight out and say, "This is what I'm doing." Otherwise, you might confuse people. You were confusing me last week.
Well, then you need to get a drop for "I'm playing devil's advocate."
Okay,
and it could be just audio of me saying, "I'm playing devil's advocate." Don't actually find a drop; those are horrible. But I've been accused of being a satanic man who doesn't know what it's like to be a woman. Those were the MySpace days.
Yeah, I could see you on. I can see you
when
on
it was
any of the
just
forums.
when it was just text, and you know the little profile thing that says female. And they'd be like, "You don't know what it's like to be a woman."
Well, it's good that you got that out of the way, Shauna. Now I don't know what we were going to talk about. Oh, I remember. We got so much to talk about. Usually, I spend pretty much most of Sunday morning scrounging articles. I scrounge up all during the week, but I kind of put them together, right in the morning and right up to afternoon. And I just kept finding story after story this week. Just so much was happening right here in Keene, believe it or not. So I guess that's a good thing. Of course, this show is kind of me trying to find the ills, the bad of you know, what I consider the establishment. So I guess that's not a good thing.
No, business is booming. business is not good.
Business is booming in Ill Town. First of all, right off the bat, let's do some talk about some events that are coming up. Vaxxed. Let's see. Let's pull up the IMDb. Vaxxed, from cover-up to catastrophe, a documentary alleging the CDC, the government charged with protecting the health of American citizens, destroyed data on their 2004 study that showed a link between the MMR vaccine and autism. Shauna and I have been aware of this for quite some time. This was definitely a cover-up that happened. This documentary goes into detail and really boils it down, really takes it limb from limb. This documentary will be showed at the library this Thursday, which is, let's see, what day is that?
October 13th.
October 13th, not Friday 13th. October 13th, 6:30. It's being put on by Health Freedom New Hampshire. And I think I'm going to go see this.
I think I'm going to go see it too. It looks interesting. That's directed by Andrew Wakefield,
mm-hmm.
who's at least popularly known as the guy who made up the study that linked autism to vaccines. So, and if this was made, you know, recently this year, it would be interesting to see how they address that, if they do, if there's going to be, you know, science lovers showing up to be like, "You need to know the truth. The vaccines are great."
Well, of course, and this is a bad habit of mine, or maybe a good, who knows, but I'll pick an article, read the title, maybe read the first paragraph, and then I find myself going right on down to the comments. And I did the same thing on this IMDb review, and it's either or. It's either you gave this full stars,
yeah,
or you gave it one star.
I wonder how many of the one stars came from people who actually watched it.
Good point. I did,
or the five stars as well.
Exactly. So it's either you're on board, the CDC is a little fishy and they're playing the game, using your taxpayers' money to do so, and or you believe everything that's coming from them and they could do no wrong.
It's interesting that the first the most recent, or the first one, says, "I thought this movie," it's a 10-star, I guess, "I thought this movie was going to be about bashing vaccines, but it wasn't," which immediately makes me interested in watching it now.
Well, really, it's the cover-up, the MMR cover-up.
It's not going to be just dumb blonde chicks.
So now, do all vaccines,
hair waving in a
do
field.
All vaccines cause autism? You know, if they did, we would have heard about it a long time ago. No, there was a definite cover-up, especially concerning young black babies, where it affected them. And those numbers were a base. Those numbers, they were burned in a barrel in the office and shredded. So these people were really trying to get rid of the evidence. And of course, this movie is hopefully some people get to watch it. Next on the agenda, also happening at the library, and this is something near and dear to my heart, the library book sale, the biannual book sale, is happening the 21st of October through the 23rd. That's in 2 weeks.
So that'd be the weekend after this. So the Vaxxed movie is going to be at the library.
Yes, I don't know what room, probably the one of the basement rooms where they do the viewing stuff, which is also where the library book sale will take place. And I will probably hop over there on Friday and just kind of see what's available. Probably not do a whole lot of buying because I go on Sundays and get the $5 fill a bag, which is my game. So that's happening pretty soon. Anything else happening, Shana?
No.
Been talking about it forever. The Southbridge project, which I did not realize had a due date. Southbridge project is the last project of the Ashuela Trails to Rail trail system that they've been working on forever and ever. It's crossing Route 101, going down to the Keene State fields. And they got the go-ahead in, I believe, April, May. But they've been... Let's bring this article up. Project has been in... they've had all their equipment out there, their crane and all their tools and their boxes and whatnot, for 7 months. Didn't realize there was a deadline. October 28th is the deadline. You guys got a couple... You got a week and a half, 2 weeks
what?
In it. Yeah, exactly. Which probably explains
they just got there.
They just put up a piece of it, but no, they have been really milking this project, taking their sweet time, and they finally got the first extension. It's a prefab bridge. I'm going to ring up some pictures for us to gander at, get an idea what this
the
thing
project
looks like.
Is part of New Hampshire's 10-year transportation improvement plan. Oh well, it's going to be paid for with federal funds. So
oh yeah, everyone's known that
free money.
That's how these things usually work. Here, everybody, I got some pictures. And
when did you take these? Wednesday?
Yeah, sometime early this week. And look at that camera. That's from my cell phone. Those are beautiful pictures.
So yeah, shut up, Ted Kaczynski.
So
look at
like,
that picture.
Looks like there's going to be three extensions. They've got the first one up. The difference from the North Bridge, which should be the West Bridge, by the way, is that... a good portion of this bridge is actually earth, which I guess that's why they were able to get it down to 1.5 million as opposed to 2.3 million. And just think about that. Just stop. I know this is paid for by the state and all, and wrap your brains around that amount of money for a bridge. And all it's doing is providing pretty much the mostly Keene State students a walkway to their fields.
To the athletic field on the other side, or?
And of course you're gonna have the trail nuts who are always out there, and this is gonna be so much nicer for them. And Shana, what have they been doing all these years before this
they
bridge
just
came into
walked out
came
into the road and died? Thankfully.
Well, I don't know that anyone has died on there. I will say that when people do cross that road, it's usually someone on a bike and they stop there, and someone will stop instead of just traffic moving on along until there's a clear. Someone will stop and they will create a traffic jam.
It'll slow down traffic. I don't think it'll actually create a jam.
Well, jam is slowness to me in my book. Anything that's slow.
Yeah, but I mean, if somebody's trying to cross, and it is a trail on one side and it is a trail on the other side, I've been the beneficiary of cars stopping so I can cross and jaywalk and everything. And it's usually just, I know you get all jacked up about it when somebody stops for somebody else, but it's not that bad. It is dangerous. It's not safe for the guy to, walk out in traffic when it's not safe. But, and that's why cars will just outright stop.
Yeah.
Because it's safer than, you know.
Well, and also you have so many pedestrian walkways across around town, and it's the law to stop for these people.
Yep.
That people, it's starting to become ingrained in their minds that this is, you have to stop whenever you see a pedestrian, even though there's not a, you know, line in the road. And I say that it's dangerous, and especially when there's traffic moving pretty quickly, and you're not expecting, and if you're driving right through the middle of Keene on Main Street, then yeah, you're kind of expecting something to happen. But yeah, when you're on the 101 right here,
I would not want to see somebody on a bike or on a dirt bike. People do use that trail.
Yes.
They do bike across and everything. So, I mean, it kind of makes sense, but there is another pathway.
Well, and that's where I was getting at. What have they been doing all these years? And so I finally got the opportunity. I took those pictures to go check out the trail that goes under the bridge, the 101. It's like, yeah, it's been there. And I heard stories of it flooding one year. But
probably would.
Went yeah. and checked it out, and I was surprised. I was expecting like a dirt trail underneath the bridge, but there's a nice little boarded walkway that goes underneath here. It's got
a trellis.
Well, the weeds are growing on it like a trellis, but it's a chain link fence going over it, I guess, to prevent people from committing suicide into the river next door.
Stopped me so far. So this is at the end of Martel Court, which is parallel to 101.
Yeah, this is over there where the Agway is.
So at the very end of that road.
Here's how it looks. It's well done, well well taken care of. About halfway through, someone cut open the chain link so they can get into the bridge or underneath the bridge, and then it's all graffitied up. Some pretty interesting stuff down there. Here's your little river there, your little brook that I guess is overflowed at one time or another. And here's some of the graffiti. I thought it was really well done. While I was there, I was only there for a couple of minutes, and I saw three people. One runner and two students. I guess they were going home to those apartments there. And here's the other end. It is a nice, and the pavement, the trail is paved.
Yeah, there's no part where you're walking on dirt. There's no needles strewn about or beer cans or anything.
So I actually got home and I looked at Google Maps to see, you know, whether the new bridge, the new South Bridge, is more convenient. And no, it's going to be more convenient for some students who live on one side of Keene. But guess what? The people who use this tunnel, they're going to continue to use this tunnel because it's closer to where they're at. So I guess we have two walkways now.
Well,
two walkways to maintain.
I think the trail, though, is used by, you know, ATVs and bikes as well.
It expects
a different traffic. Like, can a, what is it, four-wheeler, three-wheeler,
actually,
big wheel?
Actually, I don't know that. There might be some ordinance that prevents them from being on this trail.
I think that's why there's a perceived need to connect the trail, because it's a trail. I mean, when this was an actual rail trail, a railroad, mm-hmm. There wasn't that big old road there.
Yeah.
So,
well, my big question is, and I know the answer, if this wasn't free money.
Yeah.
And by the way, there's no such thing as free money. But if it wasn't paid for by the feds, would this project have ever gone forward? I'm going to say no. Absolutely not.
I'm going to say, yeah, they'd get a bond to bring us into more debt.
I'm going to say that the people would have stood up against this bond. And they would have said, no, there's already a tunnel there. No, you got your North Bridge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, leave it at that. We're not going into debt. We're not putting our children into debt to pay for this, especially, you know, considering how ugly it is. And by the way, they're very ugly bridges, but they're strong. They should be around for a good long time. They better be at that amount of money. So that took place this week. And I guess they got till the 28th to get it done. I don't know what happens if they're still working on it after the 28th.
They just, keep on going, I guess.
I don't know. There's a contract. What happens when you violate a contract?
Force majeure. Who's the contract with?
The actual company. And that's the other thing. The company who's actually building it?
Yeah.
From Maine.
From Maine, yeah.
How do you like that? Other news that happened this week. The Historical District. This is a planning meeting, meeting that we attended a couple of months, 2 months ago. And the Heritage Society was putting together an amendment to add on to the current historical district and add to it, add 52 parcels, I believe, pretty much all down Main Street. There were many people who showed up, especially a lot of folks who lived out there, and like, no way, Jose. No. We don't want the extra regulations to have to deal with if we're going to, in the historical, and being in a historical district, you have to go through two separate parties in order to do any work on your house.
You have to get the regular permit.
The regular permit from the city, and you got to get a permit, or not a permit, but you got to get the permission from the historical district. They come out and they okay everything. If you do certain things, like change the doorway, change windows, change the roof line, change anything on a structure, a 250 square foot structure. And the people decided that, no, not only does this make it more difficult for us to live our lives, but it also makes our properties undesirable.
Yeah, who wants to buy a house that hasn't been improved upon because you have the second layer of documentation that hasn't been improved upon, and when they get it, they can't improve upon it either without going through. And it's not like people don't want to take care of their homes, but it just is so much more hassle. Why not buy a house that only has one layer of hassle?
Well, and when you think about when you start buying specialty windows, you have to. I mean, sometimes if they're an odd size, you're going to pay out the you know what in order to find those. Sometimes it's better to go get the prefab ones, the ones that are of a particular size. I mean, you can get specially made doors, but our doors or windows, but you're going to pay extra.
See, I would think if you're doing specialty, not that many people would want it done, so the cost would be lower.
Not to mention, we're talking about older buildings.
Yeah.
These are buildings that you do want to do work on. You want to get those windows, those energy efficient windows and doorways and insulate your walls and whatnot. And now you have to go through special hurdles to get that project done. And, wow. So, anyways, bottom line is... This project has been not put on hold. It's actually been withdrawn. However, the notices to the public already went out. So the mayor says, nope, we've got to still have the meeting. That meeting is October 20th. That's a Thursday. And that's when, well, it's already been withdrawn.
But the request to withdraw.
The request has been seen, but I don't think it's been... Like, the withdrawal has not been okayed, so I'm going to say, even though they're still having the meeting on the 20th, it probably is important that people still show up to this, just in case something fishy takes place.
Well, yeah, I think if people don't show up, even if on the genuine guise of, well, you know, it was put on hold, so they wanted to withdraw it anyways, I don't need to do anything, I'm done, I did my part, I showed up. They could see nobody showing up as well. Sounds like there's nobody here saying, you know, repeating the request to withdraw, saying go away. So I guess we can still do it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think it would still be important to, you know, and especially if you were so aggravated the first time by this whole project, you know, just go one more time and tell them all to quit and go home and leave everybody alone.
Well,
I will give them the benefit that they did. What you were just saying, they removed the requirement to... The slaves get to change their windows.
No. They didn't remove that.
Yes.
The city council members, planning, license, and development did that. Planning board was getting drug
Whoever
around.
Whoever removed it, it was removed.
Okay, and that's
they
the reason...
They removed the alteration of windows and doorways as an activity requiring the district approval. And not just 250 feet, but... 450 square feet or more would need approval. Now, it doesn't matter if they want to withdraw the annexation anyways, but it's not, they had, you know, you want to alter the windows or the doorways and you want to improve upon, you want to add more than 250 square feet. those particular items and some others got reduced to, okay, well, you got to, instead of follow, come to us about this, 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 and this, you come to us about this and this. They at least got that. And now they want to withdraw the plan completely. Maybe because they want to have a stronger marketing for a plan again in a couple of years. Lay low for a while, which I think some groups could do. And, you know, come back with a better argument for why you need the windows, you need 250 square feet.
Well, this is in the master plan. So exactly. I know that they'll be coming back to this. Basically, what they've come out and said is because these additions these three bullets were removed from mm-hmm. our abilities to monitor these buildings, were removed from the amendment, we're just going to go ahead and drop the whole thing. I don't know, because they still have a lot of leeway. So I'm not really sure that this is the real reason. I'm thinking it was from the opposition. Have you seen the signs around town?
I have seen the signs around town. They just say no historic district.
People have been writing letters to the editor. People have been talking to their city councilors. This is not something people want to repeat. They already have their downtown. Pretty much all downtown is historic district, and they currently the land use update is taking place right now, and I'm mm-hmm. sure they're letting the council members and the committees know that, hey, look, these make it difficult for people. You're trying to get people to move here, trying to get business to move here. Throwing one more hurdle in their way is not going to make that process work any better.
Right.
So, but I'm thinking, I think it has everything to do with the opposition. That's just my gut feeling. There were a lot of people. Remember the lady who says that she was approached?
Tell me about that.
She was one of the first ladies to talk, and she said that one of the tenants or one of the property owners came up to her and says, "You're not going to get away with this." And she made it sound like she was bullied into dropping the whole project.
Well, that's a good case for bullying. I think so.
Someone who doesn't leave your
property alone.
Someone who's not even in my neighborhood, he's telling my entire neighborhood how to do their business.
So you were talking about a committee woman member who was approached.
One of the historic district
commission member.
Right.
Okay.
But what is their actual title? They are the...
There's the historic district commission.
And then there's the heritage people, though.
That's... Oh, God.
Okay, yeah.
There's too many bullcrap.
It was one of the historic district commissions.
God.
Committee members.
I'm going to form a committee to find out how many committees there are.
So that has been withdrawn, folks. But I think I'm still going to go to the October 20th public hearing.
And especially
if
you live there, you should go anyways.
Correct.
Even if you didn't go the first time or the 800th time it was around.
This is true.
They can't kick you out for being a bum. It would have happened a lot of times already by now.
You want to do blue streets or city councilor? Or city manager, excuse me.
I want to just look at the picture of the...
the picture of the pig on the side.
Piggy cow or whatever. Well, so whichever one you want.
I've had it open the whole time. Let's go with city manager. So, city manager, we haven't had one for almost 2 years, maybe a year and a half.
And there's been chaos in the streets.
Yes, chaos. Well, everyone's in. People give him much praise, and I guess he's doing a good job. City Manager Kupchinski, mm-hmm. Which I believe he was a code enforcer, or maybe he was one of those guys. Took the seat, and I guess he's been doing a pretty good job. He doesn't want it. He wants to retire, and his tenure is up in 2017, and these counselors got to get out their butts and find a manager. They went through the whole rigmarole early this year. I think they interviewed a bunch of folks, and none of them worked.
Nobody can do the job.
I know there was money that was put aside. I believe it was $30,000.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if all that was spent. flying those people here and the whole process of putting ads in papers and, you know, there was a process and there was money spent. Well, they didn't like the candidates they received in the first process, so they sat on it for a while, twiddled their thumbs and thought about it, what's the best way to do this? They finally decided, hey, let's get one of those municipal service facility recruiters and have them do the hard labor for us, the hard work, and find someone for us. They'll go through the names, and then they'll send us the appropriate names. So that's what they've decided.
And then is that consulting group going to do the interviews?
The pre-interviews.
Oh, God.
But the councilors, city council and mayor and probably some city personnel will have the opportunity to do the final interview.
You know, a pre-interview, in my experience, could be just as easy as calling the applicant to talk to them about the job.
Mm-hmm.
A good one that you want to stay on the phone with can last about 20 to 30 minutes. A bad one takes no time at all to get out of. And I'm not saying why don't they do more work, because, you know, that might be a tragedy. But I really, the outsourcing of searching for talent for your own company is something I really don't understand. And I've gone through so many temp agencies this year and so many, you know, other recruitment websites and, you know, post your resume here. We have all the source of all the hiring companies, and it just seemed so
convoluted
and redundant and duplicative. And especially when going through a temp agency, you are there to impress somebody who, from what I can tell, is
doesn't have a real job. They're recruiters.
It is a real job, I'll give them that, but you're not a banker. You're finding people to work in a bank. So honestly, what do you know about banking?
This is my thoughts exactly.
You don't see temp agencies yet, oh God, for burger flipping, for pizza swirling.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a really quick connection between the employer and the employee in those. And I'm not going to even let anybody say that it's easy to just hire somebody to flip burgers. Like, there's a lot of investment involved in hiring anybody.
Way too much. I would say it's much easier than finding someone to next level up apprenticeship. And at the top of the level, probably leading a company, and in a way, a city with a budget of $30-something million is a big, big company.
It is a big, big company. Still takes a lot to hire somebody, even at a small level, where it's like, dude, I'm just here to answer the phones.
Mm-hmm. Well,
they can't handle it. So
they did decide to go with Novak Consulting. Went to their site and looked them up. They specialize in municipal governments and nonprofits. If you look at who they represent now and in the past, it's pretty much that's all it is: churches and cities. I don't know how the city got a hold of this.
I know exactly why the city chose this group.
I do too. Do you?
Yeah, I do.
Because it has a pretty website.
Even better.
Tell me.
So this is the brochure for their executive search solutions, and it says in the third paragraph, at Novak Consulting Group, we apply a holistic approach to doesn't matter. They saw the word holistic, and Keen had to jump on it.
Oh, you mean like Whole Foods?
Holistic. That word.
Rail to trail, Whole Foods.
That word means we got to go with them. I rest my case.
Well, I have been.
Why do you think?
No, I agree that the more I delve into city business, and I'm not going to say that I know what's going on. I'm just pretty much reading the paper and listening to people talk on the radio. I'm learning more and more. But the more that I watch, the more I realize that a lot of these committees and these research programs are mm-hmm. being handed off to these types of wheelers and dealers. the city zoning update, the land update program is a prime example. We went. Oh, you missed that one. I went and watched it. It was an hour meeting, and they had a nice slideshow, and they were talking the game. These guys are getting $200,000 of our money at the end of the day because they have a nice website. They have fixed up some towns, mm-hmm. and I don't know what's really involved. We're talking about changing zoning. I mean, why is it so hard? Why does the city need this specialty group? Why do they need $23,000, $23,800 to find us some names? I mean, what are they really going to do? They're going to put an ad in the paper.
Yep.
They're going to
they'll put one in the Wall Street Journal.
They're going to do a pre-interview. Guess what they're not going to do? They're not going to do the background check. They're not going to fly them out to us and not do any of that. You're just going to put an ad in the paper.
But it'll be in the Wall Street Journal.
It'll be in the Wall. We actually, so where is this link at?
USA Today.
Go to Indeed.com.
All right.
Here I go.
I'm used to that place.
Have you been there? How many city managers do you think that'll be listed on Indeed.com?
I applied for a lot of stuff, and I don't think I would see that many for city manager just because of the algorithm that I saw.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a lot of burger flipping.
Well, some people are not shy. Some cities are not shy because there's 53 listings right here. You got project engineer, department facilities manager.
Those are sponsored, though.
Here's a city manager, and this is one we actually looked up. City of Rosenberg, Texas. That's what you said had about a population of 30,000?
Yeah, southwest of Houston.
So these guys aren't messing around. They put an ad in the paper, Indeed. Fill out your name, Social Security. Put your staple your resume to the thing. And there were two questions there. So the city can actually add questions. You can add, two dozen questions to further whittle down your applicants.
Yeah.
Using a simple program like Indeed.
I've seen a lot of applications on Indeed through their website, and they'll ask you really, let's get out of that. But it asks you, what's your experience with forging materials? What's your experience in restaurant work?
Mm-hmm.
And, there are times when it'll ask you like genuine thinking questions like, tell about a time you demonstrated integrity. Well, this job's not for me. This job interview for Rosenberg, this job application for Rosenberg, Texas through Indeed. So it's not going straight through the company that posted it. It's the city posted this, I think. It just says, how many years of experience do you have as city manager? How much mm-hmm. progressive city experience do you have? And, that's it.
But the worst part about this is?
What's the worst part about this?
You're absolutely right. The city of Rosenberg, Texas might not have put this application on Indeed. This might have been one of those silly municipal recruiters, which is probably exactly what they're going to do with Keene. I have no doubt.
They'll have it on Indeed. I'll look for it.
We'll keep our eyes open.
Like my new job, and I'm not looking, but man, I'll take a gander anyways.
When we find it, we'll be listing it.
Well, what I want to point out is that you said, I don't really know what's going on with, the city. I'm getting an idea.
I'm getting an impression.
You're an amateur. But I would point out that you're not just an amateur. You are a target of their content that they generate. You view their ads. You view their, not just their advertisement, but you view their media. You read the Sentinel at least five a month.
Which is very favorable to the city of Keene.
The city of Keene, yeah. You are a consumer of what they present.
And I'm a taxpayer.
And you're a stakeholder.
Tax slave.
Yeah. So it's, in advertising, like I know anything about advertising, but from what I figured, it's not you as a consumer, as a customer, it's not your responsibility to figure out what they're really trying to say, what the city's message is, what the municipal industrial complex is really all about, the real ins and outs. it's on them to bring the message to you. If they want to be known as totally on the up and up and honest and fiscally responsible and, you know, just want to make everybody feel happy in their tummy heart, that's on them. You know, it's not up to you to understand. I mean, there's social norms and everything, of course. But, you know, I feel the same way about a lot of liberty activism in Keene, you know, or when I read the Free Keene whatever, you know, it's like, oh, you don't really understand what happened when they're figuring that out, you know, when they take some activism or whatever. And, you know, you don't know what the planning was. Too bad. I'm a consumer of their media. I'm reading the blog. I'm reading, you know, the comments around, and I'm coming to my own conclusion. I have every right because I'm not on the inside of that. And at the same time, you, Conan, you're not on the inside of, you know, you're not sitting behind those boards. You're not on any of the panels, any of the commissions or anything. So you don't know directly of the dealings that go on that I'm sure are totally legal and everything. Consume me for anything anyways. You don't know. So you're just a consumer of the product that's being put out, which is the image that they're creating. So I would not, I would say you do know a lot, and you're not just some dude who doesn't know anything.
Well, I would say that I don't think it's a responsibility. I think that they have certain responsibilities. They have to, like televising this, like sending out emails whenever they have some kind of a strange, public meeting about.
They don't have a responsibility to
explain it to me? No. I think that is, but this is exactly why no one follows this stuff, because it is so convoluted.
They're using your money.
I would like my money back. At the end of the day, I would like my money back because I don't like how they're spending it. Because the more research that I do, the more I look into what they're doing with it, the more I realize that, no, I just would like to have that money because I don't like how you're spending it. But no, it's our responsibility to follow these people.
And
everything is transparent. It's just that the language that they're using is hard to understand sometimes, and the numbers that they're using, it's all right. Well, now I've got to carry around a city budget with me just to look, you know, to investigate
these
numbers, to cross reference these numbers. But this is exactly why no one follows this stuff. This is exactly why why the voter turnout is so low. Not just in Keene, but the entire country, because there are so many other things to do. There's a stupid debate happening in 9 minutes, and
it's going to be tremendous.
And everybody hates these two people. It's going to get how many? They got 10 million views last time around.
Yeah,
because it's entertainment. But going to a city meeting and listening to people talk about how they're going to change zoning to influence companies and people to come move here. Boring.
See, I think I still disagree. I think it's there. If you're on that board, you're sitting behind one of those desks for some reason. So far as you're able, I think it's your responsibility to be open and to translate the wonkiness of what's going on into normal speak.
I would say that
saying, you know, okay, so. You can change your windows now, or, you know, what, or to just translate it into human being speak so that it's understood. It's pretty difficult to figure out what they're saying sometimes, and not just because, you know, oh, I've never been to a meeting, or oh, this is the first city meeting I've been to in, like, you know, 2 years or something. Like, if I'm following along and I understand, like, it's really difficult, and I think it's, and that adds to it's a cycle of people don't go to these meetings because they're difficult to follow. You immediately get the sense when you're there that you don't know what's going on. You are totally lost, and why bother? And I think those members feed off that nobody's really watching us. Nobody really is asking the quote stupid questions of, you know, what are you even talking about? Mm-hmm. I mean, I got a huge sense of that at the meeting we were at about the Historic District Commission annexation project, where, you know, in the non-public part of the meeting where we're just sitting there watching this gallery, it just, you know, it was like there was nobody else in the room. And, you know, it's not on them to hold our hands or anything, but I think to the point of, you know, I don't want to lay out the wrong impression and sound like an idiot giving my opinion about this. It's really like, it's kind of on them as well. And not just as, you know, as the person behind this desk, but just as a person, you're using other people's money to sit behind that desk in the first place. And you have, I think, a responsibility to at least part of your due diligence in stewardship of your responsibilities and your duties is to, God, just speak clearly for a minute.
Well, I do believe that, you know, I've had this feeling that most people who run for this position, for the city, for city government,
any government,
they're pretty much all one side of the coin. This last election, I saw one individual and maybe another who are going to definitely ask questions, and they're going to rock the boat a little bit, especially when it comes to spending money. And I'm going to watch these guys closely, and you know, if they continue on the way that they are, I'm going to keep voting for them. But there was one question concerning the city manager position that was brought up, and I thought was pretty good. And I heard another individual drop a comment that, you know, let me just play this real quick. Actually,
so this was not about the actual recruitment, but about the recruiting company, the contract that they're going to get with.
This is everyone agreeing that they will go forward with, they're giving this over to the city manager to deal with this company, Novak Consulting.
Okay.
And the city councils are going to vote on it in a second. But this is a question that came up from Mr. Sutherland, Councilmember Sutherland.
I'm just curious as to whether or not the committee might be able to comment. Did they consider a contingent contract, or were we only looking for a retained search, and why?
Okay, that was actually, and I didn't understand that myself. Ms. Shauna here knew exactly what he just said. That, you know, shows her.
So,
she was showing her autism very strongly. Then the couple of individuals on the board didn't know what he just said.
So my understanding is that when you first had me listen to this, my guess is that contingency. I mean, I know the word from that scene in The Simpsons with the bad doctor with the card that says contingency, no, comma, money down, or the lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, he's asking, is this the type of contract where the award of money is contingent on succeeding, on finding a person? That's just my guess. And I guess, or retainer means they just keep the money to do the job. And right. Whether
in
they,
most situations, a contingent contract doesn't require the hiring business to put out a lot of money resources in advance. They're only paid, the search firm is paid for their success only. I was
That's
just
right.
wondering if that was ever considered, and why not? That's all.
Councilor Powers?
So, yeah. So
I was right.
Doesn't that make sense?
Listen to Shauna.
We're talking about $23,000.
Yep.
What, you just hand it over with no... I mean, usually when you go to the store to buy something, you don't pay a month before you go to the store to get your groceries. You pay after you've got the groceries in your basket and you're walking out the door. And in this case, getting paid money, no results. And, well, here's what Mr. Powers has to say about this situation.
Thank you, Your Honor. Had a little bit of experience with some of these global government senior management.
Global government senior management consulting centers.
They get somebody from anywhere?
Well, I guess
ruled by a more.
It looks like Novak just works in the U.S., but I guess that there are, might be companies who, you know, work further abroad.
New World Order.
That's exactly what I heard. But I'm a lizards. Yeah, lizards.
Recruitments, and typically that's not done. It's probably done in the private sector, but it's not done in the municipal sector.
And there's your problem. And I'm glad, Mr. Powers, you said that. I'm going to play it again because this is what's wrong. This is exactly what is wrong. They might do that in the private sector, Mr. Sutherland, but no, that's not how these guys. The ones that only specialize in cities and nonprofits. No, they don't. They don't run like real businesses. They'll get your money. You know why they're going to get your money? Because it's taxpayers' money, and they're going to get it regardless if they find you a good city manager.
Why bother?
It's not done in the municipal sector. However, In this proposal and all the other proposals, I believe there is a clause that's got sort of a warranty to it. If it doesn't work
sort
out,
of.
They're going to do it again, but they're not going to get paid.
Okay, sort of and maybe. So he doesn't know. That would be a good clause to have. So if the first one doesn't pan out, and what does that mean? Does he have to, if he only works for a week, what if he's 6 months in and he turns out to be a real pain in the butt and we have to get rid of him? Do we get our money back? Do you have to find us another one, Novak Consulting?
Maybe they're no good at finding people.
I would have asked that. I would have had that follow up immediately to see. I would like to see that clause.
I think the whole thing would just be shut down by, well, that's not done the way we do it. We don't do that. Or
yeah.
Whatever that part that, you know.
Yeah, so let's get rid of them. But Mr. Powers goes on further, and I think that he's on board. He might be on board with that idea.
If it doesn't work out, they're going to do it again, but they're not going to get paid. So I believe that this council is more than competent to be able to do this search without a recruiter. However, the majority of folks have appropriated the money in the budget, and looks like that's the way it's going to go.
So how do you like that democracy, Shauna? Majority of the folks said that this is how we're going to spend our money, so we're stuck, and you're going to take my money regardless.
Well,
by the way, he goes on to say it a couple more times, and Mr. Powers at least is of the opinion that this is ridiculous. They could have done a very good job putting ads in the papers themselves. You know how hard is it? You've got city clerks sitting around not doing anything, and they can write up this application release. They can copy and paste the stupid Rosenberg, Texas one, and just put Keene under it. That
probably
easy.
Probably, and not be too far off.
And save a lot of money. But hey, $23,000? Ah.
The only thing that I can think of, the HR legalness that I was just complaining about in hiring somebody to flip burgers or twirl pizzas, that type of stuff, you have to have the magic words. You have to ask for certain qualifications. You can't ask for other stuff. You can't say that you don't want this. I imagine that in, you know, what you call the high-level company position would be just 10 times more stringent and maybe just that much more difficult to write. That's the only thing that I can imagine.
I think part of the problem here is that...
I mean, you apply it like a pizza place or something, and the interview could be like, do you steal drugs? No, you just do drugs? Okay, don't show up high.
From what I understand, the last two Keene city managers were in their positions for a long time. I think the last guy was in for 20 years.
Okay.
And I think a lot of people, residents, citizens of Keene, are trying to replicate that individual. They are trying to find a perfect candidate to stay in place forever and ever, amen. And they don't want to deal with someone who's only in for 2 years or four or whatever. And I'm like, you know what? It kind of doesn't bother me. I kind of don't want the people who are in for 20 years. I would like to be able to vote city managers out. How about that option? Hey, I don't like how you're doing business. I don't like how you're making bad decisions and, you know, one of the parking issues downtown is the fact that they put a courthouse in one of the parking spots and they put a firehouse in the other parking spot. And now they're clamoring for parking. I think people who make those type of decisions should be maybe ousted because you're not doing a good job. But hey, but we don't get to pick city manager. These clowns do. And they want someone who's going to last 20 years. I think I would like a five-year city manager myself.
I honestly don't understand why there's a city manager and not just a mayor. And that's just because I don't know.
Well, they actually get paid money, whereas the mayor's only getting $4,000. City manager's getting $130,000. So it's an actual full-time job.
Why don't they just pay the mayor $60,000 and call it a day?
You could pay me $30,000. I'll be your city manager. I'll do a good job. I'll work full-time. I don't like full-time jobs, but I'll do it. We got one more story because we're running out of time real quick.
All right. What's left?
The
rumble strips.
No, we're talking. Nope. This is here back to the counselors. Counselor Philip M. Jones filed a memo with city council to paint a blue line down the middle of Marlboro Street to show support and respect toward the services provided by members of the city police department. And of course, that went to city council last week, and it is going forward to the Municipal Service Facilities Infrastructure Committee, which is on the 12th. Let's see, what day is that?
Wednesday.
That is on a Wednesday. If you would like to go and talk about how you think this is ridiculous, ridiculous waste of taxpayers, and a horrible form of hero worship, people who know what they're getting into, this is their job, they're trained to deal with crazy people. They are held to a certain level because of the fact that they're able to make split decisions and arrest you and have a gun on their hip. These people know what they're getting into. They're not heroes. It's their job. And by the way, coming from a military man, I know...
You should be worshipped as a hero, too, and never questioned as well. So what you just said
Some people come and thank me for my service still, even with my long hippie hair. They thank me for my service to the country. And I'm like, yeah, you know what? You know, I was just I was a mercenary. I was doing it for college. And a lot of these, you know, these guys, they know what they're getting into. And by the way, the real issue is not really in Keene. There's not a whole lot of nonsense going on here in Keene. We had a fireman who got into a little trouble couple of months ago.
Oh yeah, breaking the law.
Yeah, but a lot of this is a lot of national. There's lots of national attention on police brutality and citizens
and the blowback
and
against that.
Yes, blowback from citizens who are like, "Nope, I'm going to shoot you." Yeah, I don't know who you are, but you got a uniform on. I think it's ridiculous, but I don't think I'm going to this meeting. If you look at the Facebook comments on this stupid article, overwhelmingly people are positive about this. Yeah, let's do it. Yeah, let's do it. Let's put a red strip out in front of the fire department.
Oh God,
which is coming next. Let's put a what's the color of teachers? Pink. Let's put pink strips in front of the high school and the middle school to show our support for all the teachers.
See, I don't have a problem with the idea of being. I see we're out of time. Don't have a problem with the...
I was doing it silently. Okay.
We're out of time.
Keep going. Go ahead. Finish your thought.
It's my problem isn't, you know, this is hero worship, therefore you shouldn't do it. This is you like somebody who does something, therefore, you know, you shouldn't like it. If you appreciate the police in Keene for what they do, then this doesn't do anything. This is actually pretty cheap and... pretty lame. All it does is tell everybody in Keene that Councillor Jones feels really, really strongly in his heart about something. That's it. What is the blue line going to do? Is it going to demonstrate to anybody who's against the cops ideologically, like some people who have an intellectual problem with police? Is it going to convince them that they're really on the up and up and they're there for our safety? Is it going to convince some dude to not beat his kid or something? Is it going to convince any, you know, scraggly scuzzy on the road to, you know, stop complaining about his mom? No, it's going to do nothing. This is just pandering to your own feelings of insecurity about whether you respectful people enough. Go to church and, you know, repent if you feel like you're not, you know, worshiping enough or
we'll
whatever.
We'll definitely talk about this one because I feel strongly about it. And it sounds like Shauna does as well.
Meh.
The real heroes are the ones who are not trained for something, who risk their lives to flip cars over or go wading into the deeps of to rescue, you know, someone getting washed down the ravine. Those are real heroes. If it's your job, I'm sorry, man. I thank you for your job, and I'll continue to pay you, maybe. But no, you're just a guy. But we'll talk about this later. Shauna, we got to go. You've been watching Citizen Kane. The website is citizenkane.org. Go there, and you can find all previous videos. Also, check out our Facebook page, facebook.com/citizenkane.org. Send me emails, show@citizenkane.org, or you can message me on Facebook. And we're going to leave it at that. We'll see you next week, same time, Sunday, 8 to 9 p.m. Good night.
shakalaka.
When is the debate?
Right now. I'm missing it because of you. No, I mean, I'm missing it for you.
Wait, hold on now. It probably doesn't start till 9, right?
Yeah. So we got to hurry up. Come on, get the timer going.
Okay. Keith, we're starting in a second. We turned this silly nonsense anime off so we can go watch the stupid debate. Oh, God.